806 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Orwig. Mark Holliday in the studio with me.
Good morning, Dalton.
Good morning. One day until we all line up to vote at our given polling places. Tomorrow, polls open at 7 a.m. for the midterm elections. Statewide, shouldn't be anything too surprising in Alabama tomorrow. That's, of course, if you're paying attention to the prognosticators who have been wrong before.
Yes,
and
yes,
recently.
Mm-hmm.
But in other parts of the nation, we've got some really, really close races that could really impact our federal government for the next 2 years.
Razor thin, and of course, the closest one, the one that affects me the most, is in Florida, obviously, which has seen a record high early voting total in advance of Election Day tomorrow. But, of course, we've got the term-limited governor, Rick Scott, Republican, seeking to unseat Democrat Senator Bill Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And then another closely watched race, former Representative Ron DeSantis, Republican, is running against Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum, and they're locked in a heated battle for Florida governor. So a couple of them there. There's some other, congressional races in Florida that are pretty tight, and of course in Texas is
Beto
and Cruz
getting after it.
Tom Cruz, yeah,
Ted. Tom Cruz. I'm surprised Tom Cruz has not ran for office.
Well,
yet.
He's still relatively young and making movies. Just wait. There's precedent for actors to get into politics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's happened before.
Yeah, that would be
again. Interesting.
I would love to just check out a Tom Cruise campaign event just to see what that would be like. Maybe the Mission Impossible theme the entire time.
Yeah, I'm sure he could get the rights to it.
I'm sure he could.
Yeah.
Before we came into this hour, I was talking about that receipt from CVS that has gone viral over the weekend.
Yeah.
A 5-foot, 8-long-inch receipt that CVS printed out for one of their customers, Emma Keen. And we did get some texts about this. Apparently, Mark, you and I aren't the only ones who noticed the extra long receipts that come from CVS, but Greg clued us in on this. I know Halloween was last week, so this is too late for me, but maybe this next Halloween, 360 days away from now,
right,
I can dress up as the CVS receipt for Halloween.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be the first, but there's been some people that have dressed up.
Did you Google the
yes,
costume?
Yeah. Yep. Fantastic.
Pretty funny.
The woman holding up the picture of her CVS receipt, she is not 5'8" tall, but her receipt is. So it's a
pretty
funny picture of her holding that up in front of her. Maybe a little bit of a waste of paper there from some of those places.
Well, you get coupons and ads and different things on it, but how effective is that really? I mean, I've gotten the coupons before. Usually it's nothing that I'm ever gonna buy, so
mm-hmm.
I just toss it. It takes up, I mean, how many trees have we killed, to print these receipts that are 5'8" long? I mean, good gosh.
Seriously. Well, we were talking about the president being in Florida over the weekend. He did show up at Pensacola Saturday. Pretty awesome digs they had for him. He just pulled up in Air Force One, of course, because the president making a swing through 8 states leading until tomorrow's election. But he pulled up at the Pensacola Airport. They had a hangar full of Make America Great Again people there.
Did you watch that on KRG carried that live, and then on the CW after their prime time kicked in, or the Alabama game kicked in? Did you see any of that?
I checked in for a few minutes. I did not watch the entire 75-minute speech, but I did see.
Pretty impressive. You've got Air Force One and Air Force Two, because Mike Pence came in as well. So you got two of these beautiful airplanes sitting there on the tarmac, directly in front of the hangar, where there were about 7,000 people inside and probably another 2,000 or 3,000 at least outside watching on the Jumbotron. So we had Ben and Daphne said he was at the Trump rally on Saturday. He said the crowd was huge, very energetic. He says if enthusiasm at the rally Saturday is any reflection of the U.S., I don't see a blue wave coming, or the Democrats are gaining control of the House or the Senate.
That's really interesting, because if you watch the Trump rallies, I mean, he has as many people showing up as he did leading into the 2016 elections.
Thousands and thousands of people showing up, and he even made comment of that during his speech. He said, we've got thousands here. He said, the media won't show you. Pan that camera out. Let me show the crowd. And he said, the other guys, 100, 250 yeah. people or so at the, their rallies and campaign stops. So
he's making, you know, one, two, maybe even three stops a day leading into tomorrow's midterm. So yep. it's not just one place that shows out like that for the president every day. You've got multiple places. I know Jeff Poore, after he hosted the midday show on Thursday and Friday last week, he went to the Auburn game Saturday to kind of check out the campaigning around that, with that being the last big in-game football game
right.
before the elections.
Right.
And then he went on over to Georgia, where I believe the president was holding a rally on Sunday in Macon. I think it was in Macon. And Jeff showed pictures from that where I think maybe 10,000 people showed up. Mm-hmm. So plenty of people showing up for those Make America Great Again rallies. It'll be interesting to see if the Republican turnout shows if the Republicans turn out like the president has been hoping for tomorrow.
Well, he's been making a big effort on focusing on immigration.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've got the mob of people that are marching north, coming up into our southern border from Honduras and other Central American countries.
And the leaders in that caravan have just now made it into Mexico City, I believe. So that's about where they are right now.
I saw a report where it's starting to splinter a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be any less intrusive or invasive. And of course, we've got military at the border backing up the border patrol, and it's not going to be a pleasant event for anybody, but it's a big campaign issue right now. Democrats are trying to hide from it, and Trump is bringing it out front and center.
Mm-hmm. And President Trump is not a former president, but you had a former president also out on the campaign trails over the weekend, President Obama, stopping at several places. Now, I didn't see the pictures of the crowd that he was pulling. Not sure it was at the level that President Trump had in Pensacola and other places.
Let me just say that with the media being what it is, the chances are that if you didn't see pictures of it,
It wasn't
that large.
Yeah, that's probably a good guess.
That's kind of my gut reaction.
Mm-hmm. Give us your gut reaction. We're here at 251-343-0106. We'll take your calls or texts. Some of the things that the president spoke about during that rally on Saturday in Pensacola, a great write-up on AL.com from friend of the station, John Sharp. You've heard him on here before, I'm sure. But he kind of wrote, he was there at the rally on Saturday, wrote down some of the things that the president spoke about. If you were watching that live feed from WKRG on Saturday, one of the things Trump mentioned was he said, reject the Democrats' politics of anger and division. Like I said, that speech lasted for 75 minutes. And he did highlight that recent report that came out last week that shows 250,000 jobs were added to the United States in October. Trump said a Republican Congress means more jobs and less crime, while a Democratic Congress means more crimes and less jobs. He also added that it's been an amazing period of time. Let's not blow it. I know a lot of people on our side of the state line, on the Alabama side, were wondering if the president would mention any of our state races that we have coming up. But it looks like maybe Trump's pollster, the people that are in the know that are around him, probably said, you know, these Alabama races are just about locked up for the Republicans. Not a whole lot of need for you to talk about them too much. So Trump did mainly focus on those tight Florida races that you mentioned earlier.
Right, exactly. And that's that's a battleground state, as is Texas, as is Georgia, where he was in Macon over the weekend. So, you know, several battleground states. Wisconsin's another battleground state that is going to be closely watched, as well as Indiana. So it's to sum it up, it is a tight, tight, tight campaign, mm-hmm. tight race almost every place that you go. And that's why he's out stumping really hard.
Yeah, he's the number one campaigner right now for Republicans. I don't think, you know, a year and a half ago, if you asked the Republicans if they thought the president would be out on the campaign trail leading into the midterms, they probably didn't think so.
With this much activity.
No, not because he's been going through so much adversity as the president. But like you said, those races now really close. When just a few months ago, everyone was saying the Democrats would walk through this midterm election.
Blue wave.
The blue wave was going to take everyone. Trump said, I need you to vote for a Republican House and Senate. It's very fragile. It can all be taken away. But right now on the front page of FM Talk 106.5, our 1-800-GOT-JUNK poll question, you be the judge. What will be the national results of the midterm elections come tomorrow? We have four options there for you. The only four options, as far as I can tell. Either the Republicans keep both the House and the Senate, or the Democrats win over both the House and Senate, or another option, Republicans keep the House while the Democrats win the Senate, or will the Democrats win the House and the Republicans keep the Senate? Right now, as far as our voting goes, 88% say the Republicans keep the House and the Senate. Next biggest vote getter, Democrats win the House while Republicans keep the Senate, and the other two options kind of a little bit further behind those. But it seems like most pollsters in the national media think that it appears the Republicans will lose the House to the Democrats but keep control
by
the Senate.
By a few seats.
So lots to see.
Only takes one. Lose it by one, you got Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker.
You just made a lot of people cringe,
I'm sure. Me too. It was hard for me to say it. A little stuff in the back of my throat here.
8:17 now on FM Talk 106.5. More Mobile Mornings on the way. We're talking midterm elections on this Monday morning. Thanks, Kane. 8:22 now on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. I'm Dalton Orwig. Mark Holliday in here as well. We'll come to the phones in just a second. 251-343-0106. You can call or text us at that number. Here's another phone number for you. 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They bring this segment of the show to you. It's our friends at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett and his crew do great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. And if you're unfamiliar with how 1-800-GOT-JUNK works, you give them a call. If you have a bunch of junk, you don't know where to take it, if you can't physically move it because of its size, or if it's some of that junk that you don't know whether you're supposed to throw it in the dumpster or do something more environmentally correct with the junk that you have, you don't have to worry about it if you call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They have you covered. One of the best things about using Trey and his crew is you make your appointment and they show up exactly on time. They aren't like some of those companies that give you a four-hour window of when they may or may not show up. You take a half day off work, then before you know it, your entire day is gone. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to the website 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, set up your appointment, and they'll be there exactly when you're expecting them, and the price you get quoted is the price that you'll pay. Everyone I know that's called 1-800-GOT-JUNK has nothing but glowing reviews, including just about everyone here at FM Talk 106.5. So once again, to get a quote and set up an appointment, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or go to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. We were speaking a minute ago about the president showing up in Pensacola on Saturday for one of his Make America Great Again rallies heading into tomorrow's midterms, and now we head to the phones. That's what Thomas and Theodore wants to talk about. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Dalton. Good morning, Mark. How are you doing?
Good morning.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Thank you for having me on. Pete, I've missed the Thursday night show last couple. I've been going to sleep early in my advanced ages.
I'll
have to explain it later.
Okay.
I'm tongue-tied. Anyways, what do you get when you combine Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Donald Trump?
I don't know. What do you get?
2.5 men. Anyways, I can't do any better. It's too early. Anyways, I usually don't call around election time and give any pros about the election or the people who are running. But I thought it was unbelievable the other day when you had Bradley Byrne on with Kennedy, mm-hmm. Dalton, Kennedy would ask to please keep pre-existing conditions, and Bradley Byrne says, yes, I promised it. I will try to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a start of us getting together to have to respect each other and to say nice things and be kind to each other, because this rhetoric has gone too far, don't you think, Mark?
I think the rhetoric on both sides has heated up to a level that is not helpful in the dialogue of ideas, and that's the thing. If we can't come together and discuss ideas, then both sides go to their respective corners and hurl taunts at each other.
I don't think it's helpful,
but it is what it is right now.
Absolutely, Mark. I'm so glad you had to. You said that, and maybe we could start something here in Mobile of trying to be better and try to curb this. It's getting ridiculous, these threats and everything else. But I wondered why Trump had such a small venue Saturday night. Only 6,700 people. Usually plays the stadiums. Did he want a good look on the cameras, Dalton?
That's a pretty good number, 6,700 people.
Yeah.
I mean, they filled up a hangar. I think part of the reason why they used that venue, and I was kind of interested, you know, when the first press releases came out and they said that they were going to hold the rally at Pensacola International Airport, I was trying to figure out what the setup would be, whether it be out in the parking lot. I'm sure a major part of that was that he's been campaigning so much and stopping at so many different places that the easiest thing is to land Air Force One there on the runway, step out, have the 75-minute speech, campaign speech, hop back in and head to Georgia or wherever you headed after that.
I think that had a lot to do with it, and that along with the fact that there really isn't, I mean, the municipal or civic center or whatever, the Bay Center, whatever they call it these days over there, that's only about a 6 or 7,000, 8,000 person facility anyway.
Mm-hmm. Just got a text from Ben. He said they were having a country music concert at the Pensacola Bay Center there.
There you go.
So that might have also been,
thank you, Ben,
been a reason that they didn't hold it there. But I think more than anything, it was just the ease of hopping off the plane and having, like you said earlier, Air Force One and Air Force Two in the background shots as he spoke.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah, pretty impressive. No Democrats had that in their campaign speeches leading into tomorrow's elections. Back to the phones we go. 251-343-0106. That's the number that David called. Hey, David, how you doing this morning?
Hey guys, I actually just got back from Nevada, one of the battleground states, so I got a glimpse of what they're going through in those battleground states. And if you think the campaign ads and the primaries in Alabama were bad, you need to go out to one of these battleground states. My question is, how much of a premium did the retail and car dealerships have to pay to get their commercials advertised on the air during election season? Because it was like one right after the other, right after the other, and sometimes they played the same commercial right after it. Here's my predictions. These are my final predictions before tomorrow.
Okay.
And I think the Republicans hold on to all of their battleground seats, Arizona, Tennessee, Nevada. I think they pick up North Dakota, Missouri, and I think they pick up two more between Montana, Florida, and Indiana. So it's going to be, I don't think they're going to take all three, but I think they'll take two of those three. And then for the House of Representatives, I think that, I think it's going to be close. I'm not going to say one way or the other, but I do think the Democrats pick up seats. I just don't know if it's going to be enough for them to take control of the House.
Okay. We're going to hold you to those, David. go ahead and write them down. I've got Philip writing them down in the other room right now, and you'll owe us, I guess, a Dewdrop hot dog or something if you lose.
All right, or a Diet Coke, something like that.
Or Diet Coke.
Yeah, that'll work.
All right, thanks, David. And I know Nate Silver, of course, from 538.com, which they're known for their analytics. He's supposed to be, you know, the smartest guy around, because I think it was the 08 or 12 presidential elections that he was on New York Times, I believe. He was on their payroll, and he put out what he thought would happen during those elections, and he was so spot on that then he became the hottest ticket in analytics, Nate Silver.
Let's go back and analyze this a little bit.
Yeah.
In 08, did anybody, I mean, you know, you campaign, you put the signs out, you make the contributions, you know, the candidates go out, but let's face it, John McCain just did not. He was just not going to win.
No.
After
McCain Palin,
no, it was just not going to happen. I mean, that was a no-brainer. So yeah, I'll chalk one up for the and Nate Silver there.
Uh-huh.
And in 12, you know, again, when you look at where that second debate, where he got help, where President Obama got the help from the moderator that was incorrect. I don't remember the specific details, but you know, when Romney backed away from that statement, you know, and the statement of, you know, that Russia was the most geopolitical adversary right now. I mean, all of that, it was no brainer to think that, you know, Obama's going to win this again.
Yeah.
It just is.
And then, of course, Silver completely blew the 2016 election.
There you go.
Which so many people have talked about. Well, right now he says Democrats have an 87% chance of winning control of the House. Are there chances that high? I don't know. I think it's a little bit closer, but we'll continue to talk about that right here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back. Kane, 837 now, FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. It's time to head over to McConnell Automotive, talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Good morning, Dalton.
Hey, how you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great, buddy. How about you?
I am doing good, and I'm doing even better because I just went to McConnellAutomotive.com, and I was checking out that brand new Sierra pickup truck.
Yeah, it is awesome, Dalton, if you've looked at it. And, you know, I just want to give a personal invitation to anybody driving a truck or thinking about buying a truck. Y'all got to come to McConnell and check out the new Sierra. I mean, Dalton, you've seen it, buddy. It is the biggest, baddest truck on the road. But it's also got some functionality that no other truck has. We've got an available carbon fiber truck bed. I mean, you could drop a bowling ball off the Empire State Building, it wouldn't drop through there. But the cool thing is that multi-function tailgate. I mean, you literally, if you're at work, at play, anything you want to do. And the other thing, Dalton, is just how good-looking this truck is. I think it's probably the best-looking truck on the road. Anybody driving a Ford F-150, a Tundra, a Dodge Ram, especially the old GMC or Silverado, got to check this new truck out. And we have incredible closeout deals on 18s while we're making room for these 2019s to come in, Dalton.
Yeah, you can check that truck out and a whole lot more at McConnellAutomotive.com. Thank you, Mitch.
Have a great day, guys.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. 838 now on FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings rolls on. 251-343-0106. That's the number you can reach us at by call or by text. And we're spending a lot of this morning talking about the midterm elections as polls open tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Now, we should have some showers in our area, according to staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams, but not that severe weather threat that people were worried about going into this weekend. Looks like north of us in North Alabama and Tennessee, that could be a real worry. But as of right now, our area looking like just a couple storms might roll through. So no excuse. Still got to get out
Absolutely.
Vote. James the engineer, been a while since we've talked to him, but he's on the line right now. Hey, James, how you doing today?
Pretty good, Mr. Dalton and associates there. No, I'm just speaking now, guys. I really appreciate y'all. And you know, I was going to say, you know, a lot of people don't think about it, but whenever the president, whenever he's coming somewhere, it's always, you know, it's, if he can land or be close to a military installation, it's always for security. A lot of things, smaller confined areas, a lot better for security. And I think that's why a lot of times it's hangars and places close by, quick access to interstate, so on and so forth, you know. I do also want to say, man, you're doing great. I love the sports thing you're doing on Mondays, and I want to remind everybody about listening to that this evening. And I think it's awesome. Think y'all doing a great job. And touching base 106.5 and listen to y'all every morning, whether I call in or not.
Thank you, James. That means a lot to me. And you there?
Yeah, breaking up a little bit, but always good subjects that y'all talk about, and always good info on things going around Mobile.
Hey, appreciate it. I did not pay James to make that plug, but yeah, we do have sports night every Monday night at 7 o'clock. See, the thing is, I do sports on the morning show, and Sean can talk sports. Mark, you can talk sports. There are people around here, but Corey LeBounty, who I've had a show with on Saturdays for the last 4 years, we'll just sit and talk, whether it's Alabama football, Auburn football, even basketball, so...
And Sean, so one day you came up with the idea, hey, why don't we put ourselves in front of a microphone and do that, this conversation?
That's exactly right. It was a waste until we got in front of the microphones. Now we're here every Monday night talking sports.
There you go.
It's a good time. 7 p.m. Check us out. Sports night right here on FM Talk 106.5. Right now, though, it's election talk because this is Mobile Mornings, and Brenda's on the line. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Enjoying your show.
Thank you so much. So what are your thoughts on President coming down to Pensacola over the weekend, and what do you see happening in the midterms this week?
I love it that he's going everywhere. I lived in Pensacola for 11 years with my husband until he passed. We moved back here to Mobile. I'm from Mobile. And I just love Trump, and I'm so glad, you know, that he's out there fighting for us. The elections, I just don't think there's that many crazy Democrats that are going to stay with the Democrats. I cannot imagine somebody watching all the stuff they did to Trump and allowing it to continue in the world.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, inconceivable. There's no way. So I also wanted to ask you something. I heard that Hillary's daughter is married to George Soros' nephew.
Hmm. I'm not sure about that.
Heard that.
We'll check on that, Brenda. I'm sure that would have been a
show that he's definitely in the family.
Yeah, for sure. There's always rumors here and there about, you know, George Soros and the Clintons, so it's hard to tell sometimes which stories are true or not, but we're checking on that right now, and we'll see if that story is true. If it is true, I guess I don't find it hard to believe that the mainstream media wouldn't cover that, but I think I would have heard about it through other means, but we'll work on finding that out. One thing that is true is on Saturday Night Live over the weekend, believe it or not, the liberals that run Saturday Night Live taking some pot shots at Republicans, and one specific part of the Weekend Update, which they've done weekly on Saturday Night Live for years and years and years, but Pete Davidson, he's a young comedian that's on Saturday Night Live. I think he's 23 years old or 24 years old, but he's in hot water now with the Republicans because on Saturday night, this guy, Pete, he had a skit where he gave his first impressions of candidates that are running in Tuesday's elections, and he did that just by looking at pictures of them. But one particular candidate, Dan Crenshaw, came up. He's a former Navy SEAL, actually lost his eye while serving in Afghanistan in 2012, so he now wears an eye patch because of that. And his picture came up for Pete Davidson to give his first impressions of what he thought, and he said that the guy looks like, quote, a hitman in a porno movie, and then he said, which, I mean, who cares, right? Then he added, quote, I'm sorry, I know he lost his eye in war or whatever. So that has been a huge news story this weekend with plenty of Republicans weighing in. Haven't seen very many Democrats weigh in, but Dan Crenshaw actually tweeted about that. Yeah, and it says the National Republican Congressional Committee demanded an apology, but then Crenshaw tweeted that he's not easily offended. He said, good rule in life. I try hard not to offend. I try harder not to be offended. That being said, I hope Saturday Night Live recognizes that vets don't deserve to see their wounds used as punchlines for bad jokes. And he also gave a bit of a video message, too, to TMZ. Let's see if I can run that really quickly here. Here's Dan Crenshaw, the guy that was being made fun of.
Get away from this culture where we demand apologies every time someone misspeaks. I think that would be very healthy for our nation to go in that direction. We don't need to be outwardly outraged. I don't need to demand apologies from them. They can do whatever they want. They're feeling the heat from around the country right now, and that's fine. But I would like him and Saturday Night Live to recognize something, which is that veterans across the country probably don't feel as though their wounds they received in battle should be the subject of a bad punchline for a bad joke. And here's the real atrocity of all this. It wasn't even funny, right? It was not original. It was not funny. It was just mean-spirited. And that's how I feel about it.
Even Congressman Bradley Byrne weighed in on this. He tweeted, this is absolutely pathetic. Saturday Night Live or NBC should apologize immediately for attacking and mocking someone who served our country in combat. Just shows how out of touch the liberal elite are with the rest of America. And I think that's a storyline that should be paid attention to in this election and more upcoming elections. Have liberals taken it too far with personal attacks sometimes? I know you see them on both sides of the aisle, but have a lot of Democrats gotten tired of the calling political correctness on everything and then attacking with the other hand? Right. We'll see. We'll see what the turnout tomorrow, how many Democrats turn out to vote for theirs and how many Republicans turn out. But more midterm talk coming up on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5 as this Monday morning edition rolls on.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
Thank you, Kane. 10 minutes till 9 now on FM Talk 106.5 as we wrap up this Monday edition of Mobile Mornings. Give us a call or text 251-343-0106. I'm Dalton Orwig. Mark Holliday in the studio with me as we prepare for midterms tomorrow.
Yep.
Kelly Finley also bringing us the news this morning, and Sean Sullivan will be back very, very soon. Right now we head back to the phone lines where we talk to Mac in Mobile. Hey, Mac, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good, man. You know, it was interesting. I was listening a few minutes ago to the conversation about the, you know, presidential races and all.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what was different about 2008, 2012, and 2016. First of all, a lot of the union people came back home. They came back after many years of being gone from the Republican Party. And, back in the Eisenhower days, the unions were big Republicans, and it had been a long time, but they, you know, and they'd split during the Reagan years. A lot of them voted for Reagan, but that, you know, Romney never had a chance. It had, these presidential elections have nothing to do with debates, absolutely nothing to do with the debates these days. But anyway, I watched Nate Silver's coverage days after the election. I was looking for a campaign. I watched his coverage, and actually, he missed a lot of states on that election. I don't know why people want to listen. He missed. I think he get like the 20.10. Is that what his company's called?
It's 538.
538. Yeah, right. He was a number. He missed a lot of states in that election. I don't think he was a better prognosticator or anyone else out on the street really on that. I didn't see where he was anything special on that, but. You know, I mean, to me, he actually thought Hillary was going to win Ohio. So, I mean, she lost probably about 9 or 10 points there.
Yeah, he was way off. And I don't know, I think it was one of those elections that Obama won where Nate Silver's name, he just became this all-seeing prognosticator. And he was hired, he was like the biggest free agent out there, free agent journalist, I guess if that's what you call him, for a while there. And ESPN scooped him up, and they even have him doing prognostication for football games, college and NFL, and he couldn't be more wrong on those too. So I don't know.
I have one other thing I was going to talk about. Doug Jones is for 2020. I don't know if you've heard or seen. He's already advertising his Senate race for 2020. That's extremely early. I guess he's saying, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens in 2020. I think Republicans think they're going to be able to just come in there and steamroll over him, but this guy's got so much money and so much support, it's going to be hard to knock him down, just like any senator that Alabama gets. It's always hard to beat an incumbent senator in Alabama.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what state when you come right down to it, because the power of the incumbency is overwhelming. That's why you have so many candidates that are incumbents get reelected. It's almost, they're running, they're going to win. It's going to be extremely difficult to unseat an incumbent senator, whether it's in Alabama or Minnesota or Colorado. I mean, it just really is tough.
Yeah, we appreciate the call, Mac, and money playing a huge role in that. Well, I mean, most people are already giving Doug Jones less than a good chance of actually winning that 2020 race. And we're already seeing some Republican names come out. The two that I can think of, Congressman Byrne right here, who's running his own race. He'll be on the poll, or he'll be on the ballot sheet tomorrow against Robert Kennedy Jr. And we will run back that debate that we had with them last week. We'll air that tomorrow afternoon again, if you didn't get to catch that debate between Robert Kennedy Jr. and Congressman Bradley Byrne. But it looks like he will be running for the 2020 seat against Doug Jones, and also Del Marsh, who Jeff Poor spoke to last week. Looks like that's a name that's been in consideration. But you know that Democrat money is going to funnel straight towards Doug Jones' campaign pockets, because that's a huge, huge seat for them.
Well, yeah, particularly depending on what happens in this election, they're going to want to be able to pull back the Senate. I think the Republicans will probably pick up a few seats in the Senate this election. So the Democrats are going to go out full steam to try and pull them back.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Let's stay on the phone lines, 251-343-0106, where John in Foley resides. Hey, John.
Good morning. I'm going to take a different approach to this campaign. And over the weekend, all these different people out campaigning to get their candidates elected. Down in Florida, I heard that Jimmy Buffett is campaigning heavily for the Democrat senator for the state of Florida, and also the governor is a radical leftist. Mm-hmm. And it's real encouraging to see our native son, which he's supposed to give a concert close to me back, what is it, next April?
Yeah. He'll be at the Wharf Amphitheater. We gave Jimmy Buffett tickets away last week, but yeah, he'll be at the Wharf in April. Right now he's campaigning in Florida, changing the words of his songs, at least according to the story I wrote or read. Oh. To hurt the Republicans. But yeah, Buffett, a pretty big Democrat.
Yeah.
So if I go plunk down my money to go see Jimmy Buffett, is some of that money going to end up going to Democrats? Is it going to help ruin the country? Is that what's happening here?
Well, Jimmy Buffett can make as many political contributions as is legally allowed by law, just as I, Dalton, and you can as well. So yeah, if Jimmy Buffett makes his money by doing concerts and selling albums and CDs and wants to contribute to Democrats, then yeah, some of your money will end up there.
So maybe I should consider whether I should go or not.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, your money. Spend it how you want. But if you want to like music and you want to like watching TV and you only want to watch the Republicans,
you're not going to be watching much.
not a whole lot. Because
I tell you what, where I take offense, and this is on a general topic, is when the performer, the entertainer, comes out and tells me how to vote, tells me I'm bad for voting and for not voting the way they want.
Mm-hmm.
And in some regards, I mean, the Buffett concert supporting Gillum and Nelson in Florida is kind of that way. Although I don't think that in a regular show, a show that he's going to put on at the Wharf, I don't think he'll be political.
No way.
In that.
No, he's not like...
So I get offended when I have to pay money to go see a performer or an entertainer, and then they start spouting their politics at me. And I didn't pay to come see that.
And there are some old rockers that, man, you know, you go to watch them play a show where they were big 30 years ago, still big names, but they'll just spend an hour and a half just railing on, you know, politics. And people aren't there to hear your politics. They're here to listen to your great music.
Mm-hmm.
I guess part of that is so many actors and artists, you know, they see the world the way that the world should be, maybe not necessarily the way the world is.
Sometimes, yeah.
Very idealist, and that just doesn't work out in politics all the time. So overwhelmingly liberal when it comes to artists and actors. That's where Jimmy Buffett is. I'm going to still listen to his music. That's just me. I know a lot of people won't. But.
Fins to the left and fins to the right.
There you go. That does it for this Monday morning edition of Mobile Mornings. Tomorrow, we're talking all midterms. Get started at 6 o'clock. Right now, it's time for the Laura Ingraham Show, and after that, Midday Mobile.